Is that marvellous? Isn't Christianity just a supernatural thing that happens to people? It's not just something we decide to do. It is something we decide to do. But it's something very supernatural that happens to us, isn't it? Those of us who are real believers know that something happens to us. We encounter God, we meet God, and in that encounter, we're born again. We're born of the Spirit, we're born from above. That's what it means to be a Christian. And tonight, I just want to speak to you for a few minutes about the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the place of encounter. It's the place where we meet God and we've experienced real transformation. And over the years as an evangelist, you know, you're always preaching the gospel. You're preaching about so many different things. But I've noticed that whenever we preach about the cross of Jesus, there is an extra dimension of power in the meeting or in the situation. Something mysterious almost and supernatural. It almost doesn't really matter what exactly about the cross you're speaking about. But the cross of Jesus has in itself a supernatural power when you might feel weak or you don't even know what's happening in the meeting. The cross of Jesus itself, the heart of the gospel, is the power of God. It just is. And it transforms our lives. And tonight I just want to look at some of the things Jesus said when he was on the cross. In fact, Gareth said tonight that, you know, when someone's going away, they say the most important things, don't they? And when someone's dying, what is really in them comes out of them. Especially if they know they're dying and they're with it while they're dying. You know, when someone's in intense pain or under pressure, but particularly when they're dying, what is in them is squeezed out of them. Jesus said, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. In other words, what's really in you will come out of your mouth at some point, usually under pressure. Women know about that who go through labour, because all sorts comes out of their mouth at that point. And men know about that when they've got a nasty cold or something a lot less. Things come out of our mouths all the time. But anyway, and you know what comes out of Jesus' mouth is very interesting. I want to speak about Jesus' famous last words. And his last words before he died on the cross, of course he rose again, but his last words that day were very, very significant and very important. You know, I was looking at some of the people's last words that they said, and it's interesting how different it is, the things that come out of people's mouths when they're dying. Some are profound, some are just sad, and some are hilarious. You know, apparently Oscar Wilde, I mean, I don't know whether these are true, but apparently they are. Apparently Oscar Wilde, his last words were, "Either this wallpaper goes or I do." I don't know whether that's true. And apparently Humphrey Bogart's last words were, "I should have never switched from martinis to whiskey." I don't know whether that's true, but apparently. And apparently Ned Kelly, the Australian, desperado, who was eventually caught and hung. Before he was hung, they said, "Have you got any last words?" And he said, "Oh, well, such is life." Because he was Welsh, you know. But anyway. And a famous general in the army in the Civil War in America, General Sedgwick, became famous for, you know, foolishly sticking his head over the parapet and saying, "They couldn't hit an elephant from this distance." It's true. Here's some others. Pope John Paul's last words, "I'm ready to go to my father's house." John Wesley, "The best of all is God with us." Mother Teresa, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you." Two people died on the crosses next to Jesus that same day. And you know, the last things that came out of their mouths were interesting. Make or break for their whole lives, weren't they? They both lived the same life. But out of their mouths in the end, one came cursing and mocking God and the bitterness of all that he'd been through. He died how he lived, in sin and bitterness and anger and hate and venom. Terrible way to die. there's another way to die, a better one. And a man who'd lived exactly the same life, somehow in the last moments of his life, found something in Jesus that gave him a spark of hope. And his last words that were recorded anyway were, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And his whole life was turned around for one prayer, just in a moment. It's awesome, isn't it? It's just so supernatural and powerful. You know, the gospel, the message of God, is so powerful. Just sitting here tonight, hearing it, working on you. Whether you know it or not, the love of God is working on you. And as I speak, someone else is speaking. It's that other voice speaking in people's hearts, actually, that brings transformation and change. And as Jesus was dying, he said this. You know, Jesus' death, as you well know, was absolutely cruel. And there was no compassion for Jesus. Nothing. There was mockery. There was spitting. I mean, spitting. That's terrible, isn't it? Someone stripped, naked, and they're going to be brutally murdered. And people are spitting on them. It's interesting, the spitting bit, because Jesus mentions it often. In his catalogue of sufferings, he often mentions that one. "We're going up to Jerusalem, they're going to mock me, condemn me, spit on me." Spitting indicates a level of hate, violent hatred, that can only be expressed in that way. They spat on him. Jesus' death was absolutely horrifically cruel. There was no compassion for anyone. They were laughing as he died. They were mocking as he died. They were challenging him as he died. The soldiers were making a party of it and selling his clothes. There was no compassion for Jesus whatsoever. That's why it's amazing the love that came out of his mouth. The things that came out of Jesus' mouth as they were abusing him and nailing him to the cross were incredible. No bitterness from Jesus. No hatred, no venom, no looking for justice. None. As they hammered the nails in, his first word was an F word, in English anyway. "Father, forgive them." Forgive them. Amazing. Jesus was living out what he'd taught earlier. Your enemy, forgive your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. When Jesus was being hammered to the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." If you want to know what's really in the heart of God towards you, that's it. What is in the heart of Jesus is total forgiveness for you. It just is. That's what he wants to do more than anything else. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. And that's our greatest need. To complete